And I want to preach to you tonight on the law. When I say the law, I don't mean like a policeman. That's South Carolina talk. I heard the law's coming. That means the police is coming. But I ain't talking about them. We ain't talking about the city and state ordinances and laws of our county and country and things. We're talking about the law of the Bible. And as we look in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this: "Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And when we see that Jesus says he's come to fulfill the law, he didn't say I'm doing away with the law. He said I come to fulfill it. And I'm going to show you as we get into this message tonight what that's talking about. Usually when you mention the law, there'll be somebody in some church or some Christian or some bitter person on God will say that that's legalism that we speak of when we say the law. And to the apostate religious crowd, legalism is defined as two things. Number one, it's the belief that saved people will live right. That saved people will live right. You should live right. Nobody said amen to that, so yeah, you can kind of get the picture.
Right.
Saved people should live right.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a thing about your body. You're two-thirds saved.
Yeah.
Your body's saved. Your soul saved. Your spirit's born again. That old flesh you keep carting around ain't made it yet.
Yeah.
That's why this body groans for the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
One day they'll plant us in the ground. We'll be in heaven, and the rapture will happen. Up we'll come with a glorified body, and the whole thing will be complete then. We can't lose what we got, mind you.
Amen.
But that old flesh will tell you can lose it. That old flesh think you lost it 10 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
It's I don't feel saved. You ain't got to feel saved. You got to be saved.
Yeah.
Okay? There are times when I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like I'm a U.S. citizen. You know why? I feel like I'm being treated as an outsider by my own country sometimes. But it don't matter how I feel. Listen to this. I was born with it.
Amen.
And when you get born again, you don't have to feel it. You got to be it.
Amen.
But see, with the apostate religious crowd, legalism is the belief that saved people will always live right. And they also believe that we must live under the law. And the legalism that the apostate religious crowd preaches works like this. They don't believe you actually live under the law. They believe you live under the law as they interpret it. That varies from crowd to crowd. One crowd says, well, that crowd over yonder don't live as tight as we live. They don't live tight at all. They just live under a bunch of fake rules from a fake ruler.
Yeah.
They're not living under the Bible law, and I'm going to tell you why. Only one did, and he fulfilled it.
Yeah.
And the way we know he fulfilled it is he started out being born of a virgin. That disqualifies the human race from ever being able to fulfill the law right there.
Amen.
That's why God did that, to show us that. But the Bible definition of legalism, as it is someone who believes that you must obey the law to, quote, maintain your salvation, to keep it. That's real legalism. You can't do enough to get saved, and you can't do enough to stay saved.
Amen.
Let me give you the Bible's definition of it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't care if he's Noah, Adam, David, whoever the man is in the Old Testament, they all got saved the same way as you did. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus Christ said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. They might not have known his name in the Old Testament, but they knew there's a Lamb of God coming to save them. They got saved, what you say, on credit, so much we got saved, it's already paid for, but they got saved by the same Jesus you did. They might not have understood what a cross was, but they knew in Psalm 22 it's going to pierce his hands and feet. They knew that much of it. But if God saves a sinner, he changes a sinner, and no one gets saved and never changes. God has to do that in a person's life. And as we study this doctrine of the law, first off, I want to show you the purpose of the law. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've got to look at several places tonight to really get this thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you look down at verse number 5, here's what your Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, and this is on page 1274 if you've got a Bible like I got. If you don't, you have to hunt it. Amen. Yeah, so 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 5. He says, now the end of the commandment, that's the commandment, he says, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. That's real faith he's talking about. From which some, having swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling. And he says, desiring to be, right here, teachers of the law, understand neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. He said, in other words, he said, they don't know what they're talking about, but they act like they know what they're talking about, but they still don't know what they're talking about, if I can put it that way. But we know that the law is good. He said, if a man use it, how? Lawfully. If you use the law right, it's good. And by using it right, we use the law to show people they cannot save themselves, that they're condemned in the law. And by saying you're condemned in the law is this. You're not going to hell because of how you were born. You're going to hell because you cannot keep God's law. And when you think you can keep God's law, you really headed on a slippery slope because you cannot do it. You are deceived to the utmost at that point. If you could go to heaven by anything other than the grace of God, Jesus Christ would never have had to die.
That's right.
And he says there, he says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. That's to save man. You and I, we're not here to keep the Sabbath. We're not here to make the sacrifices. The sacrifice is already made, and the Sabbath was given to the Jew, not to the church anyway. He said that it's not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Ask the people down at your favorite beer joint, drinking your favorite beer, smoking your kind of crack, and sniffing your kind of cocaine, and smoking your marijuana, and committing adultery with you. Did I cover them all?
Mercy.
Cussing your kind of cuss words, listen, running around with your type of friends that hate God.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is the rest of the world, that's how it is here.
Yeah.
And listen, here's the other part of that. He said, for the lawless and disobedient. That disobedient crowd be that crowd that sits here and don't do a blessed thing Jesus Christ tells them to do. You can't be a saved person and not follow Jesus Christ. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. You got to follow him. And he's saying to use the law in this way. And look, sounds like a whole lot like soul winning, like he's trying to tell you, it's how you win people to Jesus. Okay? He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. If he's be lifted up from where? The earth. He said, I will draw men unto myself. He said, the lawless and disobedient. He said, for this crowd right here, for the ungodly and for sinners. Never fool yourself. There's only two types of people in this world. That's godly and ungodly.
Yeah.
The godly are only godly because of God himself living inside them through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing godly we got. When you get saved, that's your godliness. That's your righteousness in the person of Jesus Christ, the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all we got. We die with that. We go to heaven. He said, but this is for the lost, for the ungodly. That's the crowd that don't know him. Do you realize in Revelation 20 when he says the books were open and another book was open, which is the Lamb's Book of Life? You do realize the books he's talking about are these books right here. Oh, that's just a bunch of fairy tales. Well, you better get to know them real good, because if you die without Jesus, you're going to be judged of every verse and every word.
Right.
Well, I don't believe in that. Tough. This is the law at that point. This is condemnation. God's not going to just toss you in the lake of fire. He's going to read you out why. Notice this, he said, for ungodly and for sinners. Who were sinners? Those people that break the law and they know it. For unholy and profane. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. For manslayers. For whoremongers. For them that defy themselves of mankind. For men stealers. For liars. For perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. Now watch this. You looking at verse 10, you whoremonger. And them that defile themselves mankind, that whoremonger is that person that keeps running around with somebody else's old lady, or some woman running around with somebody else's old man. I say old man, old lady, so y'all laugh at it, but you get the point here. A little sugar makes that medicine go down real better. So look here. But he says it right here, he defiled himself of mankind. That's your sodomite crowd.
Yeah.
Don't ever let them tell you that, well, that's not in the New Testament. That's just an Old Testament. Jesus said it was in the New Testament. See, where did he say it? Matthew 19, he said when there's man and woman, that's it. That's all God created for each other.
Yeah.
That's Jesus' condemnation of that other crowd. Tell me again how he don't understand love. I'll tell you what they are. They are perverts. They're perverting the word of God. And he says in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. There's what Paul preached against right there. And he's passing along to young Timothy to preach against that as well. And the purpose of the law is for two things. Number one is for conviction, because if you are doing these things, that cuts you. That cuts you. That word of God cuts you. It gets inside. You may walk out of here saying, "Ah, you are crazy preachers. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll do what I want to, and you won't tell me what to do."
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go home in a little bit, and I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
You can go home. Holy Ghost is going to be knocking on it all night, ain't he?
Uh-huh.
Turn over. I'll go to sleep. I'll turn this way. I'll turn over this way. I'll get some rest sometime tonight. Next thing, you're watching TV.
Yep.
You're watching me TV and Andy Griffiths on 2 o'clock in the morning, and you still can't go to sleep. Listen, if you just get right with the Lord, you won't have to go through all that. Do you know why the average person, why they get in such a mess? They go to their doctor and say, "Doctor, you got to help me. I'm in a mess." He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I don't know." You know what the problem is? They're not right with the Lord. They won't get right with the Lord. And it drives them crazy because they can't explain it. The doctor don't know about that. Half these doctors don't know about that stuff. But you get you a good doctor, they tell you, "Listen, you need the Lord," or something, you know.
Yeah.
But see, we talk about the laws for two things. Number one is for conviction. And once you get under conviction, then the Bible tells us that law is also for conversion.
Right.
And listen, when people tell us, and they tell us, "Y'all a bunch of Bible thumpers," We none of the such. We're not Bible thumpers. That ain't us. That's not our crowd. Our crowd's this crowd right here. Listen to this. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul."
Right. Amen.
And if the law of the Lord converts the soul, now you know why they want to get rid of preaching. Ain't you got some kind of player skit you can perform over here instead of all that preaching? And can't we take the youth outside and throw the football or something? Or play with Barbies or whatever it is y'all girls do. I don't know what y'all do. This is a little side note. My daddy raised a man.
Yeah.
Men don't play with Barbies.
That's right.
Men don't dress up like Barbie neither. Say amen right there.
Hi.
Hi, little purple-haired girl out there saying, "I'm a little boy." You're not a little boy.
Right.
You're whatever you was born with.
Amen.
I ain't being mean. I'm just telling you how what the facts are. And by the way, when you go out to the DMV, they don't care what you identify either. They're going to ask you what you is.
Yeah.
I told you this English get bad on if I ain't careful. I'm trying to keep it in for these nice people back here. But I'm telling you, listen, this bunch of Israelites trying to say they something may not, you live in a fantasy land.
Yeah.
In reality, you know how it works? You is what you is, not what you say you is.
That's right.
Now, somebody told me that and said that was right, and it was God, and I believe it, don't you?
Amen.
He didn't say exactly like I said it, but y'all get it.
Yep.
You can only be what you're born as.
Amen.
So I want to be something else. Well, listen, if you're going to be something, don't be the opposite sex. Be something cool. Be a chicken or something, okay? Be a chicken, a duck, be a catfish, be something. But don't be stupid about this thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to be all in, go all the way. Better yet, be a giraffe and start growing your neck. Oh, wait a minute, you can you? So you got to be what you are.
Amen.
By the way, the first time I saw a giraffe in real life, I thought to myself, I wonder if I can run fast enough to get away from this thing. He had a neck like a skyscraper, a head like an old Buick, and I thought if he swings that, and then he swung it and hit the one beside him, I thought it was bad me and my wife got into it. I mean, he went, or maybe it was her. I didn't get close enough to find out. I just knew that was violence. I couldn't stand that. And I told the little kids from church, I said, "Cover your eyes. That's violence. We don't need to see that." Anyway, the purpose of the law is for conviction and conversion. But the position of the law, if you look at Romans chapter 3, you look down at verse number 20. The position of the law is this. I read you where Jesus said, "I came not to do what with the law? Destroy it, but to fulfill it." Therefore, it's still here. I had people tell me when I got saved, they said, "You don't even need to read the Old Testament. Just read the New Testament. Live by it." And I wondered why they would tell me that when over half my Bible, probably 3/4 of it's the Old Testament. And then I think it was Dr. Seitler. I had this book that had all his quotes in it. And in that quote, it said this: always look for Jesus when reading this book. So I went back to Genesis and started looking for Jesus. I didn't have to look far. Because when I read in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I remember in John chapter 1, the Word was the one who created it. There's Jesus right back there. And it goes all the way through the book. So I can't see it every time. I keep hitting at it. You'll get it. He'll give it to you. When you need it, He'll give it to you.
Yeah.
That's the thing about this book. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The position of the law is simply this. It shows what you are. You see that? But it cannot make you anything but condemned. It takes the Holy Spirit of God by the washing and regeneration, by the shed blood of Jesus, for you to be saved. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And there had to be blood shed to pay for your sins. And because the blood was shed, you can't go back and keep the law in order to be saved. That's the law's firm position. It's never changed. When they were out in the wilderness and they said this, they said, Moses, tell God to give us some rules, we'll keep them. The Lord's response was, I'll give them, but you will never keep them. I don't even think they made it 10 days. This bunch talking about we keep the Ten Commandments. You don't keep one of them. And that lets you know how it works. God don't work the law the way you think the law works. He works the law the way He said it would. And in James chapter 2, verse 10, if you violate this law in one point, then you're guilty of 648 commandments and 200-something prohibitions.
Yeah.
One law broken. And I'll give you a hint. Being born in this world broke the first one. That's why we said Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Because He was born of a virgin, now the law condemns everybody. Isn't that something? I thought you was keeping the Sabbath day. What happened to that? I thought you weren't eating pork. What happened to that? Go enjoy you some bacon. Unless your doctor looks right at you and says this is killing you, go enjoy it. And if he does say it, get a second opinion.
Yeah.
But look at verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. When we get up and testify that we was on our way to hell and Jesus Christ died for our sins and shed His blood for us, we're not doing away with the law. We're showing that He that's greater than us fulfilled that law when we couldn't. We couldn't save ourselves. He came and showed us that He was the Lord of glory. He's the author of the law and the finisher of the law. And because He did, it establishes the fact it's not based on us, it's based on Him. Now notice this. When we say the law is established, look over at Romans chapter 8. We got the purpose and position of the law, but there's also this other one here, the performance of the law. And we talk about the performance of the law in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Next time you feel like you're not saved, you read Romans chapter 8. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How did you get saved? Did you get saved by following the Spirit of God and the conviction and conversion, or did you do it on your own? Let me remind you, John 6:44, no man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him.
Yeah.
How does He draw you? By the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
He says there in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what the law brings right there, sin and death. I had not known sin till the law said, thou shalt not. Do you know, since I got saved, I've tried to tell myself I'm a pretty good person. I'll be reading in the Bible and catch something I ain't caught in 25, 30 years. You know what it always is? It's always something I thought I was good at, and I read it, the thing I thought,
Yeah.
I'm glad I haven't been doing it, but I didn't know there's nothing wrong with it, but I still got to repent of it because I'm sure I've done it.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. I've never sat down and, you know, took inventory and said, you know what? I think I'm going to go through the entire Bible and see what I'm guilty of. Let me tell you why. I'm no longer condemned. I'm not guilty.
Yeah.
No. But how do you know you're not guilty? Did you catch that part I said about the blood paying for your sins?
Yeah.
Why would I go back to my credit card bill that I paid 10 years ago, look at it and see all them charges and say, I really need to work on paying this, and it's already paid for? Well, that'd be kind of ill-thought-out doctrine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How about if I owed you money? Would you let me keep paying you? Of course you would, you bunch of criminals. But listen, I see a lot of people come along and they try to pay God back after they're saved.
Yeah.
You can't. It's gone. Just like you, listen, what's in your wallet? Well, if it's paid for, you don't owe them a dime. Quit trying to pay them, right? I bet Capital One don't keep turning down your checks after you done paid them all you owe them. You keep sending them $100 every month. Do you know what they'll actually do if you do that? Do you know what they'll do? They'll credit your account up so much, and then they'll send a check back to you for what you paid them, because you can't pay what's not owed. Isn't that interesting? So you don't gain anything by doing it. And by the way, they'll keep your money and draw interest off of it, then send it back without the interest. I didn't say they was God. I said there's a credit card company. They work a whole lot different than he does. God, you can't pay back them. It seems like you can't pay them enough sometimes. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that hadn't figured this thing out. We don't owe God. We can't pay him if we did. But watch this. He said that the righteousness of law, verse 3 is where he's at. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What happens to us when we get saved? We no longer are under the law. We're under Christ, and we're in Christ. It's paid. Paid in full. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You ever heard somebody sing that song, "Something Happened, and Now I Know That He Touched Me and He Made Me Whole"? We're not saved because of them feelings, but it sure does feel good to be saved. I can take you back to the time and place I saved. The building's still there. They still do the same thing in that building. It's Ronald McDonald House in Greenville. They take in parents. He's got children over in that hospital. Y'all probably heard about this. They keep you in there, and you can walk back and forth. They feed you McDonald's biscuits every morning. What a great deal, huh? Now, there's a catch. There's a catch. You have to have somebody recommend you in there from the hospital. Okay? And because they recommend you in there, you're in there. Them sausage biscuits are frozen from last week. Microwave fix all that problem. They got one of them too. Amen and amen. Never bothered me once. I'd go in there and throw that sucker in there. It had a little thing in there. Heat this. They had a little record just for them. And I'm telling you, listen, they treated us nice in there, but it wasn't near as good as when God got a hold of my heart and I went in there. Bowed down old glass coffee table in there. Man told me I need to ask Jesus to save me. He'd forgive me if I just ask him. I cried and snotted all over that fine glass table. I bet they had to get one of those scrapers like on a grill to get that stuff off with next day. I'm telling you, listen, I felt so good getting off my chest. I finally come clean with God, told him everything I could think of. He said, confess your sins. So I started naming them off. You know why? I didn't know it was a general thing. I thought it was specific, so I did. If you did general, it works, but I mean, they didn't kind of explain that part. That poor guy said, listen, he said, you didn't have to tell me all that. I said, I wasn't talking to you, friend. I love you, but I wasn't talking to you. And I asked the Lord to save me that day, room 25, Ronald McDonald House, and I've been saved ever since.
Amen.
And the day that happened, I became drug-free and alcohol-free and pill-free and all this other stuff. And I ain't talking about what the doctor gave me. I'm talking about what I was going down them street corners and buying. God did that work.
Yep.
But there was one problem. There was things I did at the time that I didn't know wasn't sin.
Yeah.
You know why? Where I went to church, I had all the deacons smoking on the front porch. Oh. I never asked them, was it sin? That never came up in conversation. Have you got a light, did, but not is this sin? Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You preachers and you preaching on smoking, help yourself. I'm trying to help your kids. You shut up and listen. And when God dealt with that thing, it was worse than the cocaine, the LSD, and all that other garbage. Because now I was doing it as a saved person.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll quit it then. I wish I'd have said, Lord, I'll let you quit it for me, because I've struggled with that for 2 weeks. Yeah. You ever seen that movie Major Payne where he's in that apartment and he's screaming like that was me from just off them things?
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me that stuff's not addictive. That's a lie.
Amen.
I had one guy tell me, Brother Jesse, he said this, if you just chew some background, it'd help you get over that. It's the same thing. Nicotine's nicotine, whether you smoke it or whatever, or get a manure sample and put it in your mouth. Whichever way you do it, it's the same thing, right? You dip snuff, don't you? Golly, I wish y'all could see that face. Look at there. Tell these churchmen, you dip snuff, half of them get under conviction, half of them look at you like you got two heads. How very dare you, sir? But see, the performance of the law is this. What did it do right there? He quickened your mortal bodies because you couldn't keep the law. Then verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Where's the first place he led them? To Jesus Christ. What does he do from there? He leads you right back in these scriptures so you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, not become a slave to the law that you just got delivered from. Now watch this. We are not under the law. The law does not determine our salvation. It never has. I'll give you two shining examples of it. One was Abraham before the law was delivered by faith in God himself. According to Galatians chapter 3 or Galatians chapter 4 over there, he says that Abraham believed God and it was counted in him for righteousness. He didn't keep no law. By the way, there was no Sabbath law and no law written down when he got saved. So there's a guy before the law getting saved by grace through faith. And I don't want to word something up. Brother Mike, they try to say this. Well, that was just during that time. Listen to this again. No man cometh unto the Father but by me is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
They believed a lamb was coming to die in their place. Every one of them. Whether it was Adam, Abraham, and then after the law was given, there was another guy that said he had a heart that was after God. And you know what he did, don't you? He killed a giant. He killed a giant. And then the next thing in your brain is something else he did. You know what God said when he confessed it? I will remember it no more.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
He wasn't a lost man committing that sin either. He was a saved man doing it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listen, if David had to live under the law, he was condemned already, but he wasn't condemned. Because in that same passage about Abraham, it said David believed God that was counted him for righteousness. So if the law is not what you keep, then how was it they got right then? Because Abraham was before the law, David's during the law.
Yeah.
You and I are after the law.
Yep.
But we all get saved the same way. Yeah. See, it gets back to this, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
If we could get baptized and go to heaven, you know how blasphemous that would be to walk up to Jesus in heaven and say, thank you for partially saving me, but my baptismal waters got me the rest of the way in. Can you imagine? I don't think nobody's been thrown out since Lucifer, but you'd be the next one if you tried that.
Yep.
You ain't going to go in there and do that. You know what you're going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to go in there and fall down at the king's feet. In about the first million years or so, if you could count time, you're going to say thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I figured out something the other day about eternity. We call it eternity past and eternity future. It's really not. It's just eternity.
Yeah.
We're in time. It's outside of time. So if you go back far as that way, there's eternity over there, and you learn to go all the way to the end of time over here, there's eternity. It's all together.
Yeah.
We're just going to be out there praising God and thanking Him for what He done for us.
Amen. That's right.
There's going to be a new heaven and new earth made. You know that?
Yeah.
He's going to wipe away the former. Not recreate them. Not wash them clean. He's going to wipe them away. And listen to this. When He does that, I notice how this thing works. I saw this. He said, and a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things are passed away. But yet there's going to be one man-made thing in that new heaven and new earth. That's them prints on His hand and on His feet and that scar on His side. Forever there to remind us, we didn't get in by keeping anything. We got in by the grace of God.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we